Well, greeting friends, we are coming to look at Mark chapter 8 and the incident of the second feeding of Jesus of a multitude of people. Let's pray. The couple of lessons we need to learn here, which are very important, and we need God's help. Our God and Father, will you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, please help us to pay more attention to your word and think about it and apply it to our lives and our thinking and the way we look at life and how we live for Jesus each day. Help us to use the treasure of your word just as that, for your word teaches us that it's worth more than much gold, much fine gold. Help us, in Jesus' name we pray, that we may glorify you, benefit others by our witness, and grow. Amen. So Mark chapter 8 and the first 10 verses read very simply. In those days, when again a great crowd gathered, again, second time, other time was 5,000 earlier in the gospel, and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now these days, 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far away. Then the disciples answered him, how can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? So he said to them, verse 5, how many loaves do you have? They said, 7. He directed the crowd to sit down on the grass, on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And they set before them the crowd. They set them before the crowd, and they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these should also be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied, and they took up broken pieces left over 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away and immediately got in the boat and with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. Now, you know, it's fascinating. When you read it, here's a miracle. Jesus is like in the feeding of the 5,000. He is doing what God did in the Old Testament in feeding the people of Israel in the Exodus when they were in the wilderness, in the desert. They had no food. He multiplied food for them by his power. The power of God, Jesus does the same. He is the Son of God, equal to God the Father. Do you know what happens, though, is the disciples are hopeless. They are absolutely clueless. Don't you feel like shouting out and saying, you dumb characters, why don't you remember what happened when Jesus multiplied the food for the 5,000? But no, they don't. They have no clue. Now, just move your eyes on in the text to verse 19. In verse 19, well, just before that, they are busy arguing about the bread. And they're talking, and Jesus says to them, verse 17, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Which is what we were told in the feeding of the 5,000, that they didn't understand because their hearts were hardened. Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? Do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many basketfuls of broken pieces did you take up? And they said 12. So they remembered that. And the 7 for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, 7. So they remembered that. And he said to them, not well done for remembering, but do you not yet understand? They had more afterwards when everyone had eaten than when they started. That was the power of God, but they were blind. So goodness, you know, first of all, they really are dim. These guys are not sharp. They're not smart. And I suppose they were just wowed with the miracle. But Mark, by the Holy Spirit, like John, is showing the miracles because the miracles combined with the holy life and the teaching show that Jesus is the Son of God. John's Gospel, here is God, the Word. He gives and he is the Word from God. He is God in human form. Now, we need to ask the question, do we understand it? What they should have done was to look at the miracle the first time, or any of the miracles, and say, how can anybody do what he's doing? Jesus did more miracles than all the prophets put together through the Old Testament. If you put them all together, Jesus did more. Moses did some great miracles, but Jesus did many, many. Jesus raised the dead, a whole lot of them. And he says to them, do you not yet understand? And when we get to 27, Mark 8, 27 to 30, he's going to say, who do you say that I am? Because in the end, that's what the Holy Spirit wants us to see. Who is Jesus? Mark, from Mark chapter 1, verse 2, has been showing us fulfilled scriptures, miracles, Jesus' miraculous knowledge of what's in people's hearts, his power over death, storms, demons, his power to forgive sin, his love and compassion. He's showing us Jesus is the Son of God, equal to God the Father. Do you know what the interesting thing is, though? Is that in the feeding of the 5,000, and in the feeding, that's in chapter 6, and in the feeding of the 4,000 here in chapter 8, did you notice what is not said? Now, there's a lesson here, very important lesson. The Bible or Jesus could have said, guys, I'm going to do a miracle now. I want you to realize that it's pointing to me. It's telling you who I am. Do you notice that he didn't say that? In other words, he did things that he expected the disciples to look at and see, and they did that. And they remembered the numbers, but they missed the message. They missed who Jesus was. That was the main thing. Not the main thing wasn't feeding the people. Although that was, it says here, I have compassion on the crowd. It's a mark of Jesus' compassion. But what they should have been doing was thinking of the Old Testament prophecies, of which there were many. More. Yeah. I think I counted them one time and I got to about 80 prophecies fulfilled by Jesus. They should have been saying, Jesus is the Son of God. He's going to push them. In verse 27, who do people say I am? They told him, they gave an answer, and then he said, but who do you say I am? My friend, who do you say Jesus is? A prophet? Well, yes, but much more than a prophet. The greatest prophet? No, Jesus said the greatest ordinary man ever born was John the Baptist. And John the Baptist did no miracle. Jesus never stopped doing miracles in his public ministry, or hardly stopped. See, a prophet, a great prophet, the greatest prophet, knows more than that. Was he then? Not an angel, because he lived with the people and walked around and now the answer is that he is the Son of God, Mark chapter 1 verse 1. He is the Word, he is the Word, Mark chapter 1 verse 1, John chapter 1 verse 1. He is the Word in what he taught and in what he did. He is the Word of God, and his miracles show that he was fulfilling Old Testament prophecies about the coming Messiah, the servant of the Lord. But you notice then that the Bible doesn't warn us in advance. Earlier, Jesus, when he taught the parable of the sower, a couple of times said to them, if you have ears to hear, then hear. He says that a couple of times. Mark chapter 4, verse 9. He says it again. Chapter 4, verse 23. And then he said again, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. Pay it, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So three times there he's saying, listen. Listen. Pay attention to what you hear. Pay attention to what you see. There never was anybody like Jesus. His miracles demand our conclusion that he is the Son of God. And if he is the Son of God, then obeying him and seeking to mold our lives more and more like him in his compassion and truth and commitment to the Bible, in his belief, his prayer, that's the right way to go, which is why the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Jesus on a few occasions, because he wants to make us look more like Jesus. We won't be doing the miracles. We won't always know what people think in their hearts, but we can model Jesus' faithfulness and holiness, his prayer, the love for the Bible, his dedication to God the Father, his courage in speaking the Word of God. And that's what happens here. So we need to pay attention, though, because the Bible is expecting us. God is expecting us to read and think. Jesus never says to them, understand, when I do this miracle, that I'm showing my authority when he calmed the sea over the water, like God did in the Old Testament. Understand, when I feed the people in the wilderness, that I am providing for the people in the wilderness, just like God did in the Exodus. He didn't say, when I heal people, I'm fulfilling the prophecies in Isaiah 42 and 49 and 35. He expected them to know the scriptures. How's your Bible reading? The more you read the Old Testament, the more you will understand, and the more you will get out of the New Testament. Because the New Testament is built on the foundation of what Jesus taught. He is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. So this then is significant. Eh? The amazing thing is that our hearts want to turn away from the truth about Jesus. There's something that's the result of sin in us. There's something in us, this corruption of sin in us wants us to reduce God and Jesus to someone who's like us. But the Bible is saying, no, it's not like us. Here is God. Here is, in Jesus, this is God become a man. Look at what he does. There's no one like Jesus. There is no founder of any religion who's like Jesus. No religion you can name ever in history or today has got someone, a founder like Jesus. And the other religions that talk about Jesus have got a reduced Jesus. They've taken out some of the things and they just tucked him in as a special person. But he is not the Jesus of the Bible. He is a fake. So the Pharisees come along incredibly in verse 11 and they begin to argue with him, seeking a sign from heaven to test him. Now that's amazing, because he's been doing signs all the time. And here, he's just done one. But people who look for signs to prove, like one guy said to me, I don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. I don't believe he rose from the dead. Unless he appears to me, I'm never going to believe. So I told this guy, I said, then you're wasting God's time. Because Jesus did all the signs and the record of them is there in the New Testament. And if you don't want to believe him, then what you're saying is that God hasn't done enough to satisfy you. Who are you? Who do you think you are? That guy never believed, as far as I know. I lost track because he left our church. He couldn't take the preaching. He didn't want the Bible. And I don't know what happened to him eventually. He left us and disappeared. Well, the Pharisees came along, and the human arrogance of saying, well, no, no, the signs Jesus did, that's not good enough. I want a special one. We see how Jesus responded, and he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, verse 12, why does this generation seek a sign? Truly, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. And he left them, got into the boat again, and went to the other side. Now, that's fascinating. Jesus didn't say, oh, well, you know, of course, I'll just quickly do a sign. And then you'll believe. Well, what sign would you like? Because that puts them, the Pharisees, people looking for signs, it puts them above God. What God is saying to us is that in the Gospels are the records of the signs and the teaching and the life of Jesus. That is enough. You and I need to have confidence in the Bible. I was looking at TV the other day, and there was this guy who came on and he said, authenticate your ministry with signs. And I thought, no, Jesus authenticated his ministry, and the signs he did, proved he was the Son of God. And the New Testament says the apostles authenticated their ministry with signs because they were the unique Holy Spirit-inspired apostles, and there is no one like them. They wrote the New Testament. Their teaching was without error. The signs authenticated that and formed a bridge between them as Jews and the Samaritans and the Gentiles, the other nations, so that they would accept the Jewish writers and the Jewish Christian apostles, and the apostles could see the response in them and knew that they were genuine. That's why they spoke in tongues, and there were miracles, and the apostles could see that and realize, okay, God has now opened the door to all nations. That's why that happened and doesn't repeat through history. So there are no apostles in the real sense of the New Testament apostles who are Holy Spirit inspired and without error. You can have people calling themselves apostles, but really you're just a church leader, and you may be a significant leader. You may be breaking into a new people group, and that's fine, but you're not an apostle like the New Testament apostles. And we don't have to obey any new teaching they bring. Jesus would not compromise his position, and he would not adjust his approach. What he was saying to them is, what God is showing you is enough. If you don't like it, you will die in your sins. Jesus was fixed. He was absolute. There was no adjustment in him. He didn't beg them. You come to God through repentance of your sin and faith in Christ, the Christ of the Bible, or you don't come at all. God will not accept any less than that, no matter what we think. So Jesus turns his back on these guys. You see, he knew they weren't genuine. And the kind of people who say, oh no, we want a sign, before we believe in Jesus. Well, you're never going to satisfy them. And that's why Jesus just got in the boat and left. So where does that leave us? Where it leaves it, you and I, is in a position where we need to read the Bible carefully. What's the book that I'm reading? What's it about? What's it telling me about God? If I'm in the Old Testament, does this particularly apply to Jesus in the New? If I'm in the New Testament, what am I learning about God? What am I learning about His will, about salvation? What am I doing? How can I glorify God in response to this passage? Who do I believe Jesus to be is going to be the next question we will look at. So it's a really significant incident, and the Bible doesn't warn us. The Holy Spirit does not warn us. Pay careful attention here. Jesus said it there in chapter 4. He doesn't repeat it. He didn't wake the disciples up every day saying, guys, remember now the things I'm doing are fulfillments of the Old Testament. You must remember your Old Testament and you must be. He didn't say it. Okay. God is expecting you and I to be serious about the Bible. Well, this is really serious stuff. Now, I can't tell you how many times I've read the accounts of the feeding of the 5 and the 4,000 as a Christian. For 49 years, I've been reading it. You know, I never understood. I didn't realize the point that Jesus doesn't warn the disciples to pay attention in these incidents. It just occurred to me last week. So there's hope for everybody. Maybe I'm very slow, and that's possible. But it does mean that we need to pay attention. We need to look and listen and focus and ask what is going on here. How do I does this teaching show up some sin in my life? Do I need to repent of something? Should I be praising God for something here? We must be taking the scriptures that we are to read daily, read Psalm 1. Blessed are those who meditate on the law of God day and night. We are to be taking them and applying them to our lives so that God is glorified, others are helped, pointed to Christ, encouraged in their faith, and that we grow and bear much fruit for God. That is God's will. Hey, let's pray. Father, will you press home the truth of your word upon our hearts? As we read it, forgive us, forgive me, Father, for every time I've read and I haven't thought carefully about what I'm reading. Please forgive me. Please forgive us and help us to be serious with the great treasure of the Bible. For your glory, for the good of others, and for our growth and fruit bearing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, may God bless you. Remember the website? Comms, capital COMS, number 4, one word, .Africa, lowercase. Okay, Africa in the lowercase. All the books are free, Bible reading notes, commentaries, all the stuff's there. Help yourselves. God bless you.